Of the rap game. Woo! Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Yeah. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Huh. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Yeah. Them cold kind, we're tossing. Right. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. Get it. I hit the high side. Boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like...
Welcome to Throttled Up, the podcast. Throttled Up will be a weekly podcast featuring Matt and Dustin. We plan to discuss the legendary Brownstown Speedway, along with other local dirt tracks, Eldora, Salem Speedway, and all of your IndyCar and NASCAR news. Don't miss an episode of Throttled Up, the podcast.
Hey, Mo, are you going to win it? Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, because y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt. Dirt, I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, I miss that. Dirt, gotta get back to it. I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, I miss that.
Welcome back to Throttled Up, the podcast. Took a week off. Back in the studio this week, and I'll be honest, it was a nice break, but I have to say I missed it.
Yeah, you know, I've said many times this is therapy for me, so, you know, when you miss a therapy session, it kind of messes you up for a whole week.
Yeah, it means that we're just that much more twisted this week. I mean, so we're...
Oh, boy.
We got two weeks worth of therapy to go through, so... But it was nice. It's been a couple busy weeks at work and a lot of things going on, but... It was nice. So before we jump into it, we'll get into our sponsors here. If I can get my mouse to move to the right spot. First and foremost, in the fastlaneproductions.com. We say it each and every week here on Throttled Up, the podcast, but if you are not a member of InTheFastLaneProductions.com, I'm just going to tell you you're doing it wrong, because there is not a better site to be able to watch all the breakdown of the races at Brownstown Speedway every week, go back and see things that you maybe missed, and you know, even for the drivers to go back and kind of see what they did or did not do. Because I've never been a driver, but I've been a coach, and I've yelled about some calls sometimes. And when you go back and watch the video, maybe it wasn't as exactly the way you remembered it. So, again, that's in thefastlaneproductions.com.
Our next sponsor is going to be Schaefer Photo and Custom Tees. That's the place for any race fan to get racing memorabilia. Mark and Jamie Schaefer will work to make whatever custom photo product you would like, from prints, keychains, magnets, buttons, and much more. Stop by the Schaefer Photo Custom Tees booth and let Bronze Bobby know what they can do for you. Then also Brownstown Speedway, big sponsor Jim Price and Brownstown. Season winding down coming up is going to be championship night this Saturday night. And
a little feedback.
Yeah, everybody's got their volume up on there, but... championship night, Devin Gilpin's definitely going to be the super late model champion, and Bill Grant is the Hornet champion, but
everything else is up for grabs.
And I'll tell you what, some of those are close, like the modifieds, 18 points between Matt Boatnick and Jeremy Owens. And
Jeremy's already on here with us tonight, so he's definitely going to make that an interesting finish.
And he did all he could do last Saturday night, you know, to close the gap on there, so that's... you know, like I said, outside of Gilpin winning the super late models and Bill Grant on the Hornets, every other class could change. So,
And next up, Miller's Termite and Pest Control is the only place you need to look for pest control. Don't get roped into the contracts or high prices with the big companies. Reach out to someone who cares about you. They can handle any problem from termites, bed bugs, ants, and spiders. They also do lawn care. Where else can you keep the bugs out and your yard looking sharp? And let's be honest, I mean, it's still 80 degrees in October. I'm about over mowing my yard. So reach out to them on Facebook at Miller's Termite and Pest Control. Email at pest_n_peace@yahoo.com or by phone at 812-767-5657.
Billy Badfast Performance. Sponsor for racer, by racers for racers. Billy Badfast Performance is your source for new and used racing parts and supplies. They are currently stocking Schaefer's oil products and front and rear bumpers and door bars for your late model or modified. If they don't have it, they can find it. Give them a call today at 502-517-9393. And I've seen Derek Bottoms already signed on, so he's listening in this evening also.
And next sponsor, P3 Graphics, which is Indiana's premier racing apparel and vehicle wrap company. If you haven't checked them out yet, go and find them on Facebook at P3 Graphics LLC or visit their website at p3graphics.com. Also, Tommy Taylor Insurance. Tommy Taylor is a Farm Bureau insurance agent. He can help you with any type of insurance that you may need. Look him up on Facebook. He is not just a sponsor of the podcast. He is my family's personal insurance agent and should be yours too.
And also Brad Irwin Customs. Contact Brad Irwin Customs for bodies, interiors, fab work, setup, and consulting. With Brad Irwin Customs, you can stick them deeper. Give Brad a call today at 812-216-3900.
And before we jump in, I do want to say, you know, we read through that each and every week, but I want to say just a huge thank you to all of them.
Yes.
They've all jumped on and kind of supported us in this thing. This was a crazy idea that we started back in March, and it's already October. I mean, we're on, what episode is this? 29? Episodes. I said this on my other podcast. The lifespan of a podcast is usually about 6 episodes before it dies. So we're already at 29. And thanks to our sponsors and to every driver that has been on and that's contacted us about coming on. Thanks for that as well.
And if you've not been on yet, contact us. We'll get you on. You know, we'll definitely make time to get them on as long as they want to keep coming on. So.
Yeah, and for those drivers who may be listening or will listen later in the week, one thing we want to do as we get the season wrapped up, we're going to look at possibly going every other week throughout the winter months. We don't want to stop because we still want to talk racing. We'd like to get multiple drivers on at a night to kind of tell stories and maybe pull up some footage from previous in the season and talk about some things and not as much, you know, just trying to promote the drivers, but just really talk about, you know, the racing action. So if people are interested in that in certain classes, reach out to us and let us know. All right, Matt, you want to introduce who we got with us tonight?
Tonight we have, used to be driver the number 2. Now he's driver the 30L there. It's going to be Justin Shaw, Hot Sauce, from last year at Terre Haute. And then car owner Trent Lau there also in the house tonight. So we got two of them here. And Bottoms wants to know why how Sandals is not with you tonight, he says.
Oh, he got stuck in Kentucky.
And, you know, I seen some questions there when I put it on there that we're going to have Hot Sauce Justin Shaw on there. So I know Jamie's on here, too, so we'll tell the story real quick on that. Is we was at Terre Haute last year for the Indiana Pro Late Model Show, and they had the little quarter midgets there with the kids. And every kid had a nickname. And one of the kids' nicknames was Hot Sauce, and Jamie says, we need a Hot Sauce, you know, in the Indiana Pro Late Models. So Justin just happened to be standing close. We're like, there's Hot Sauce right there. So.
Hey, gladly took it. Gladly took it.
I wonder where that came from.
Yeah, that's the Hot Sauce story. And another story about Terre Haute with him, though, is he got stuck in traffic and sends a picture to us. He's grinding his tires and stuff alongside the interstate while he's waiting on traffic to open up. So when he gets to Terre Haute, he's ready. So
yeah, that was interesting. I pulled in and I passed heat one as I was coming in the track. They were rolling on.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, because the announcer's booth is in the infield there, and I remember looking out. We seen your trailer like rolling in, and like you said, heat one was rolling out. So it was close call for you.
Yes, I mean, and back to the nickname. There's a lot worse things that you could be nicknamed than Hot Sauce. That's got a pretty good ring to it in the world of nicknames. So Jeremy Owens says maybe a champs night for the first one after the Fun Fest for the champions at Brownstown. That'd be a good show.
That'd be a great show.
That'd be a lot of fun to watch everybody together on one night. So, Justin, I'm going to start here. It's kind of where we start with everybody, and I know you've got a pretty storied history in racing, but, you know, I think the most interesting thing for me is where's it come from? You know, because this isn't a sport that you can just dabble in or you just, it gets into you. So where does that passion, that love of this sport come from?
So for those of you that don't know listening, I am the grandson of the legendary C.J. Rayburn. I've been going since I was young, but it's in my blood. I was raised at the shop by, first injuries probably all came from the race shop, and got to grow up around a lot of the people that you see in the Lucas series and the World of Outlaws. Now everybody started in a C.J. Rayburn race car.
Oh yeah.
So got to grow up around it. Then I worked for just about everybody. I spent a summer with Don O'Neill on the Summer Nationals tour. That was interesting. You want to talk about testing someone's ability to stay awake for 30 days? That's that's it right there. So it I got to learn the ropes on working on them and how a night goes, what's important throughout a night before I ever even got to set foot or sit in one.
And I this is totally kind of off subject though, but how old is CJ?
78.
Because he amazes me every weekend at the track when I see him, because he is as busy and as involved as any young guy in the pits. And that's, and obviously he is legendary, but he's still legendary today. He's not stopping today.
He truly lives for it. That's one thing I can say about him is that his life, that's his passion, and he lives for it day by day.
Yeah, and that wasn't, I know some people get offended when you ask them their age. That's an impressive thing, because that being 78 and the way he still is cranking in the pits is really cool.
Well, I have to say, if it wasn't for your grandpa, dirt late models would not look nothing like they do today. You know, he was the innovator that said, let's do it like this, and like you said, anybody that's anybody has been in a C.J. Rayburn race car somewhere in their career, so.
Absolutely.
Nathan Bowling asked how the weather is in Upper Crothersville. Those of you who don't know, this is UCLA, Upper Crothersville, Lower Austin area, and it's beautiful up here in Upper Crothersville. It's pretty dark. Hopefully downtown is doing well as well. I know you're only about 350 yards away, Nathan. So,
Trent, how'd you get into the racing, man?
So mine all kind of tied back to I owned a business in North Vernon. And we were sponsoring a driver there. And
I think he just logged on, actually.
Yeah, he may have. So we were sponsoring Tory Collins.
Yeah, he just logged on.
Had Fresh Prince on the side of there. Crazy idea came up. We were standing in the business there one day and said, what's it take to get behind the wheel of this thing? just jokingly. And he said, well, you sponsor, you can. Yeah, sure. So, of course, at that time, he had the connections down there at Twin Cities and got behind the wheel and didn't do too bad. So I thought, yeah, I should have never got in this thing. and then shortly thereafter, we kind of worked out something on sponsorship where I used a chassis for them for about a half a year. And at that point, kind of tying back, bought Alan Magner's car.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran it the first night that I owned that car. He actually ran it over there. And I told him to drive it like it was mine and not his. And I think he actually drove it better than he did when he was driving it for me as far as taking care of it. So I don't know if he was afraid the check wouldn't cash come Monday if I put a dent in it or what. But that's kind of where that kind of tied in. So
very cool.
And kind of a crazy connection between Trent and myself is as Trent got into racing – and I was building websites at the time, and Trent, I saw one night posted they wanted a racing website, yep. And I reached out and I said, all right, man, now let's trade some sponsorship. You help me out with this, And I'll build you a website. So Trent and I actually, that was our endeavor into the racing community, was me building a website. Now I totally got out of that, and I'm in this crazy thing podcasting.
Oh,
so
yeah. it's still going off what you based it off of. So I just don't. He made it very user friendly where I could update it, but with kids and racing and all that, it don't get updated nearly as often as it used to.
I understand. Neither does ours for the shows, because I've got one about 75% built for Throttled Up that I've said all summer is going to roll out, and it hasn't rolled out yet.
Never made it, huh?
It'll be exciting when it comes out, though, because you've done a great job on that.
It is really cool. I just got to get it finished. Trying to find the time. So, Justin, you know, I guess I'm going to ask this, and this may be tough for you to say, with who you grew up around. Who was that hero? Who was that? And you may have a couple, but who was the guy that you said, when I get in a car, I want to be like so-and-so?
Don O'Neill. You know, growing up around Brownstown, he was the guy.
Oh, yeah.
As I got a little bit older, then it started being the Summer Nationals guys. So it was the Bab, Herb, you know. But the coolest thing about being around it and having all those heroes, depending on where I go and track conditions, I can say, all right, tonight I need to drive a little bit more like Moyer. Tonight I need to be a little bit up on the wheel, get the elbows up like O'Neill. So
you've learned, you know, you've seen all their driving styles up close, yeah. So that you can kind of hone those in then.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it's so cool that, and we talk about it a lot on here, but, you know, when people, I think people take for granted what Brownstown Speedway is because it's right here in our backyard. But when you talk about Don O'Neill starting at Brownstown, those people who aren't involved in the race community don't understand really how big of a name he is. Like, yeah. until you see the legions of fans he has from outside, I think they think it's like, ah, oh, he's a local guy. It's, yeah, he runs around the country a little bit, but like, he's the deal. I mean, the real deal. I mean, yeah. But that it's a pretty cool thing to be modeling after him.
Yeah, if you ask about any of the national level drivers, you know, if you can win at Brownstown, you can win anywhere. So, it's definitely a unique track. The surface is, it's just different, and that's what's cool. You know, any of the ILMS guys, they go to any other track around, you know, the tri-state area, and they're going to be up front. They're going to be contenders.
Well, yeah, Skylar Lewis, you know, he went over to Illinois and won this year. Yep. And, you know, he kind of showed that too. You know, he's used to, you know, racing at Brownstown. But then you brought up the Summer Nationals, man. You know, as a regional racer, I don't think you can get much better than Shannon Babb. You know, you talked about when Summer Nationals rolls around, I mean, he's business. You know, you better watch where that 18 car is when Babb's out there for the Summer Nationals. So
yeah.
He's definitely a good one to take some pointers from during that series. So.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to kind of make this full circle because you brought up the Summer Nationals. I know you said that, you know, you followed Don O'Neill, and you said it was trying. What truly is that schedule like? Because it is, for me to even try and think about it with the amount of work you guys put in the shop through the week, to compress it the way the Summer Nationals does, what is that like?
So any typical race day, you know, gates open 4 or 5 o'clock, but you got to be there 3 o'clock. Right. So first day, you know, you're all ready to go. You get your night done. And let's not forget, this is in June and July.
Right.
So
yeah, in the Midwest.
Not to mention it's between 80 and 105.
And with humidity and yeah.
So, you know, you get your first night done, you load it in the box. Hopefully it's not damaged. You get up the next day. Or drive through the night. You kind of got to pick one. You either have to drive at night or you have to work on the car at night. Just because it's very difficult to do the driving in the morning and then get out, maintenance the car, and then be ready to roll on the track at 5 o'clock. So depending on the weather, I always enjoyed when we would finish the race, maybe have a beer or two, then work on the car, get it done in the box, and then you have... Then you can sleep in, drive all day. A couple of the hauls, you know, hour down the road, mm-hmm. not a big deal. But I think our longest drive that year was something like 8 hours.
Oh, my.
So I don't think there was anything over six that was next day racing, but the days off are welcomed in that month. But it teaches you a lot, because there's not a full week to get things fixed.
Right.
There is a night. There's a heat race, you know. If you make it through the heat and something's bent, you got to straighten it out before the, before the feature rolls around. So you learn how to do body work real quick. You learn how to change all the front suspension real quick. If you got to do something in the back, there's usually some bigger problems, but, swapping out a rear end in a night, swapping out transmissions, middle of a race, you know, it's.
And I'm sure that it teaches you also to be a little more resourceful, because you may have to make something work that if it was just the next weekend, you'd go get another part. You'd order something in, you'd have it in, but you got to race tomorrow night. We got to figure out a way to get this thing to get us through.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I picked up, at the time I was 18 or 19, and I think the biggest thing was the body work. So now I do body work for folks just because it's something I've done forever. But that was the biggest thing. And we'd come in every night and have a bent body panel, or just a little bit, nothing huge. But I learned all kinds of different patches.
Did you keep an idea like where race shops were while you guys were traveling, where like you needed something big to fix that maybe you could use or lift or something when you guys was on the road? Like, you know, such and such is down the road, you know, maybe.
I didn't keep track of that, but Don had been racing for years, and we had a guy from, I think, Wisconsin that was with us, and he knew a lot of people from Illinois. Luckily, we didn't have to come all the way back. You know, right. We were based out of Martinsville, so we didn't have to go to Illinois back to Martinsville. We could stay at somebody's shop there.
That's good.
I will say Don does like his bed, though. So there were a lot of nights where we probably should have stayed out on the road, but we came back. So.
Well, I guess you got to keep the driver happy, you know. Yeah. So.
Matt's brother Michael asked, "Had you ever had to do an engine change between a heat and a feature?"
No, I have not. Thank goodness.
Your brother says, "How about that rear spoiler, Trent Lyle?"
What about it? What do you say?
He just says, "How about it?" I know he's got one, and I have one.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's...
So the back of these spoilers that run around, we got the back the blue on it, so it's got the American flag that's got the blue stripe through it. And actually, the back of this spoiler this year has the two dogs' names, the canine units that was here in town. So the one dog that my brother originally had didn't work out. He has a different one now. Yeah. But it's got Vampire, which is Alan Ritchie's dog's name, on the back of it. You can't see it real well. It's kind of like embedded in the graphics, but it's pretty neat. So, yeah, you've got one, and my brother's got one, and we'll see where this one ends up.
And off subject, but that Vampire... I would never. I mean, you break that dog out, I'd just about do anything. That dog
So funny story here. So, and Justin can attest to this. So I show up to work one day, and I'm like, "Hey, man, you won't believe what I did last night." So, I'll speak to the Vampire story. So, I pull in. My brother's there, and they're training some dogs, and they use my dad's shop, and they'll pull an old farm truck in there and train the dogs to find evidence or find a drug or something like that. So we I pull in there, me and my son Hayden, which if anybody's at the track, he's usually with me in the pits.
Oh, yeah.
Doing things. But so we pull in, and they're like, "Hey, man, you want to put the bite suit on?" I'm like, "All right." I was like, "Well, you know, I mean, I would have said no, but my son was there, so I had to be the big macho."
Absolutely.
Macho guy. I said, "Yeah, sure." So I take a bite from this thing and really wasn't worried about it a whole bunch, thinking, you know, bite suit's pretty big. But you definitely felt it, and I didn't really necessarily feel it on the first time, but once I gave them enough leeway and they went to go the second grab, Justin can attest to it. When I raised my arm up, it was black and blue and purple underneath here, and I think the adrenaline rush got to me because I didn't really notice it until they said, "Hey, man, look at your arm," and I'm like, "Oh, God, look at that." So that was with a bite suit on, so... Pretty much my public service announcement for the day is, unless you have a bite suit on, don't run from the dog.
Would be
a good indicator for that.
And all of them can do damage. But, man, when Vampire comes out, he's come to our school to do some searches. And when he rolls out, I'm like, man, he looks the part. He doesn't have to bark. He doesn't have to say anything. It just – he looks it.
Yeah, well, and he let it go. He just hit the unlock button on the the vehicle, and the dog come running, so it got a full out sprint to grab hold of me. So that was interesting. There's video out there. You have to ask him about it.
I will. That's awesome.
Jamie Schaefer asked you, Justin, if you could win any race, which one would it would mean the most to you and why?
Ooh, I'm going to answer this with two races. If you had asked me 3 years ago, even now, it's got to be the World 100. You know, again, I grew up with this. It's in my blood. Yeah, it's not the highest paying race, but it's
all the prestige.
The race.
Yes,
but there's another one that I would really like to win, and this year felt like I had a great shot, as the Bowman 50.
Cool. That's very cool.
It has a special meaning to me. Brian gave me a huge shot at racing. Grandpa has always gave me a great opportunity, and I've learned a ton and whatnot. But Brian stepped up a couple years ago, supplied me with a roller chassis, a truck, and a trailer. And I bought everything else. You know, I've accumulated stuff for the past 15 years or so, but not a whole race team. So he kind of filled in the gaps, and I was able to run ILMS points twice.
Yeah,
and that was awesome. Got quite a bit of experience there, and then with Brian's team, kind of had access to meeting some industry folks that I might not have met with Grandpa. You know, Grandpa's kind of he's got his guys and his suppliers, and then there's kind of just this other world of suppliers. You know, everything was kind of, it was on the shelf at Grandpa's. I never had to talk to anybody. Right. I just walked back there, grab the parts or whatever, go work on the stuff. Well, not racing out of a full-blown, you know, race car manufacturing shop, I had to call these places. I had to make the connections and meet the people. And Cody Mahoney with Brian really helped that along. And
I was going to say, Brian really was building him a racing stable with, you and the ILMS. And then, you know, he had Cody Mahoney and Adam both up in the Super. So that was...
Yep, and even Mark Barber over at Twin Cities. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, he had him a race stable built pretty good there.
Yeah.
Derek Bottom says that you'd probably settle for winning a match race against Zach Burton.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Zach, I think we have a race coming up pretty soon.
Saturday, maybe?
Make me feel good.
Derek Bottoms, if I can say anything, he loves to stir it from the comforts of his home. I know
he is definitely a keyboard warrior. I'm going to tell you that. So
he loves to chime in, and I appreciate it, Derek. Nothing but love from Throttled Up the Podcast. Keep stirring for us.
My brother says he enjoys seeing your picture in Central Barbershop. So
yeah.
You got a
man,
picture.
Ryan at Central Barbershop, he's the best. I've got these crazy cowlicks. I don't know if everybody can see them, but this, you can't do anything with those, and Ryan figured it out. It took me 28, 29 years. He got it on the first try.
So, and Zach Burton said, oh boy. They're all chiming in, and really what has to happen next is we got to get Derek Bottoms up here, because he's taking his shots at Zach. He's taking his shots at Justin. It's only fair that Derek comes up and sits in the hot seat, and everybody gets to take shots.
Well, I think we need to let all them come to the studio that night.
Oh, I like that.
You know,
I'm going to be on the keyboard that night.
Maybe even better, when the season's over, maybe we'll host the roast of Derek Bottoms.
Oh, that sounds...
We can just roll them in, after another.
Any ILMS driver just wants to come in and just say their piece on Derek.
I think that sounds like a wonderful episode.
Oh, yeah. Just start watching for it now, guys, because that's what we're going to have.
So, Justin, you said what the race you would want to win. What's the race that you've won that is that crown jewel for you?
I won, I believe it was a fair race at Brownstown in 2008. It was, I guess, the perfect... I don't know if we qualified, but won the heat race and led every lap. And I was fresh in racing, right? I'd raced. I started in an 06 and I ran once. It's a real good thing. Don't take out the person who's, you know, funding it on your first night, especially in hot laps.
You told that story before the show started.
Go ahead and share that story, because that's a great one.
Yeah. So the first night, I got to drive a super late model or any race car.
Yeah.
I'd never raced go-karts, nothing. And, my grandpa let me drive this race car, and in hot laps, you know, his big thing, and even to this day, if we're on the same racetrack, in hot laps, he wants to be in front of me so he can show me how to do it. Well, you know, I'm 16 years old, and
nobody's showing me.
I know what I'm doing, and in hot laps, I passed him. But on the way past him, my spoiler caught his door area, and he might have went off the track a little bit. Needless to say, that was my one and only night, my first year of racing.
And I love how you tell that story, because it wasn't like my front nose brushed his back, you know, quarter panel.
No.
It's my spoiler may have touched his door. Like, that's a pretty solid hit. That's not, I brushed by.
I was digging.
Rubbin's racing, baby.
Yeah.
So the fair race, back to the fair race. So you raced a little once in 2006 and took Grandpa out and was done.
I think in 07 I raced maybe five or six times. I don't know if you guys saw it, but a couple people saw it. A couple weeks ago I shared a video. I went to Eldora in 2007 and did awesome. It was my first time there, and kind of made the show there, the non-qualifiers race.
Right.
But then it's 08 and I've got maybe 10 races under my belt. And, you know, I win a heat race. It was probably one of my first heat race wins ever. So I'm starting on the pole of this big race, and I've got Steve Barnett behind me, Steve Godsey, and, you know, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. So the green drops, and I had people pass me on both sides. And luckily, someone spun out, and I got to do it again. And I was like, I am not lifting. I'm not doing it. So second try, got it, led every lap. I think I saw Steve Godsey with a couple to go on the outside of me, and then him and Barnett got going at it, and that probably won me the race. But, you know, it was neat then because, you know, my grandpa was there. He didn't come to a lot of races. Mm-hmm. So he was there, got to race against, you know, people that I'd watched for several years,
right,
and actually win. So
and that was the old Brownstown. It was still flat then, right?
It was still flat. You could do the old Brownstown curb.
Yeah.
So the fast way back then was all the way down to the tires. You float off and drop off the track and come back on.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's really, you know, as a fan, somebody that's never sat in the seat, you watch you guys and you make it look so easy on restarts, and especially the very experienced guys, like, it's like no big deal. I can't imagine the first time you're on the pole and you're taking the green and you have these guys around you. I mean it's not just like, oh, who knows. I mean, that's some pressure.
Yeah. So I will definitely say, as I've gotten older and some more experience, racing is a huge mental game as much as anything. You have to run through the scenarios. You have to, number one, you got to have a little experience and know what the car is going to do, but you've got to play every scenario. If someone's going to try to do a slide job, someone's going to roll in outside of you, if someone's, you know, outside of something crazy happening, you've got to run everything through before you ever hit the track.
Have you ever went and looked at a lineup and, like, seen who's lined up beside you or right behind you and thought, oh man, you know, this is, I mean, is there a name that you're like, this is, you know, this is going to be a race when I get out there? So
Do I have to throw names out there?
I mean, I'm not talking where you're gonna get wrecked. I'm talking like they're gonna make you run with all you got, you know.
So those names, Jeremy Hines is always gonna run you hard. Marty is gonna run you hard and clean. when Steve Barnett was racing, he was gonna run you hard. And anymore, especially in the ILMS thing, there are so many good cars. Yes. The top four in any heat race,
yes,
maybe even five or six, it's going to be super difficult to pass them. So, yeah, I mean, in the crate stuff, it's kind of hopefully qualifying good and hitting that the wheel just right.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not laughing at you, Justin. I'm laughing. Zach Burton said, I think that every time I start my bottoms, watch out.
Ka-chow.
So. Now, when we interviewed Tyler Kane, he said that with the crate cars, it's all momentum. He said that once you get that momentum up, you have to do everything you can to keep it up there. Is that, you feel the same way? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. These crate cars don't have a whole lot of power, but if you do spin a tire, you be ready for somebody to be right with you on next corner.
Yeah. So it's almost like a go-kart then. You know, go-kart runs totally off momentum. So
yeah, momentum, and then the feature times, it really comes around because the track's got some brown spots and some black spots, and then you can really start maneuvering it around, and that's why that 50-lap one is so fun, is because the track gets slick and you can actually start maneuvering the car, and some of the experience starts paying off.
And that's one of our favorite questions. What is the perfect track?
Yeah.
To me, perfect track is going to have a brown streak around the bottom with not a full car, two tires. Black all the way up to the top with another strip of brown around the top that has some traction but isn't so tacky that you can just lean on it all the time.
So again, and that's what I think so interesting when you talk to guys that have some experience and have had some success. You want it to come back, and I know you just said that, you want it to come back to your experience. You want it to come back to your skill level.
Absolutely.
But still have ways that you can manipulate the car and the track.
The other, I guess, experience in the seat is one thing. But the thing that I kind of take pride in is the tuning. Because, I mean, on these race cars, nowadays they're so close that somebody could make a couple clicks on a shock and be out of the ballpark. But there's also things you can do that are outside of shocks. So shocks, bar angles, you know, your front end geometry is, I've learned in the past 3 years, is huge. Wow. So, and even nowadays, these cars are getting so good that aerodynamics is huge. I mean, even on any given night, we change his spoiler from laid back to up. All depending on track conditions.
And you wouldn't think, you know, running around a bullring that it would be that, you know, that, you know, particular with the aerodynamic side of things. That's pretty amazing to me there.
Running around the top of Brownstown, if you're up behind somebody, you better back your corner up a little bit, because if you go in there as hard as you normally do, just out by yourself, you're going over the top.
This the aerodynamics that he's cutting off of you, that he's taking away from you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Trent, I'm going to throw this one to you, because... Yeah, obviously you drove for a while.
Yep.
What's the transition from driver to owner?
So the interesting part of that is it was interesting. If anybody seen me at the Bowman 50, would have thought I was some crazy person. to see a car that you work on in your shop week in, week out. He'll be out there after work, stuff like that. I'll be out there. My father-in-law's out there quite a bit through the week since he's retired, and putting in the time. I don't think people realize to go out there and do 25 or 50 laps on a Saturday night, it isn't you rolled it in the trailer and you rolled it back out the next week. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. That car comes out, it's bolt checked, you're checking, make sure everything's straight. You're relying on who's driving. If Justin's driving, hey, okay, did you hit something funny? Did you have a altercation on the track that I didn't see? Did you, for instance, this past weekend, we smacked wheels. Me and Paul Ortman hit wheels together. So it's remembering that at the end of the night when your adrenaline's running, to say, okay, when I get back, I have to look at this and make sure something's not out of whack. But doing that and being able to see the rewards, and to be honest, I kind of went a little crazy when Justin passed Marty at the Bowman 50, and I thought, okay, here we go. We're in second place. It's time to go. I think Britton Gotze had a issue on the track and caution come out with 10 to go, and then trying to talk to Justin, that's where we needed the communication in the car, like, why'd you pick the bottom? That I knew he got past Marty on the bottom once, but I had a funny feeling knowing Marty that he wasn't going to let it happen twice, was my indication. So, but, I mean, it was possible, but it was a hell of a race. And to have your car out there finish third to O'Neill Brothers, that much, if you rack up laps at Brownstown, those guys probably have more than anybody. You may throw a Gotze or two in there with that. But, yeah, that's it's pretty exciting. So
yeah, that was pretty neat, by the way, getting to run against Don O'Neill.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever raced against him.
Oh, really? Really?
Worked for the guy. Known him since I was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And Trent, I think it's awesome. And I know, you know, a little bit more than maybe some people listening know, but your boys are ungodly busy. Yeah. You got things going on all the time. And I love that, because I used to laugh, not at you, but with you, and when I'd see when you were still driving, cars loaded up, going to baseball, Clarksville, going to pick up the car, somebody draw my number for me, I'm headed. I mean, it was just crazy. So I think it's awesome that you're still getting in. You've given Justin this opportunity, and you're still involved, obviously heavy, but you've been able to be dad and, you know, involved in the racing.
But probably what people don't know, when you had the two car, you guys housed in the same race shop, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys.
Justin and I knew each other from the track and stuff like that, kind of where your acquaintances and talk right. and how his, things going type deal.
His first car was a Rayburn car.
Yeah.
So I was helping him out with setup, and we'd park next to each other. And then one day he parked down the pits, and he rolled out a black car. His original one was blue.
So that was Operation Blackout when I bought Magner's car. So the him racing a car for me kind of – so we were on our way back from Moeller one night, and I was like, man, I'm not driving back. It was just family and stuff was driving back. I said, I'm late. It's tired. So we pulled in, and I just hadn't pulled up Facebook, and I knew Justin was running fifth in points, and at that point he was out of a ride for the remainder of the season. I said, hey, man, I said, just some wild idea. I was like, I know you're running with the open cars, but I said, if you want to run my crate with the opens to maintain your points in fifth place, I'd be willing to do it. One, it wasn't, hey, I just want somebody else to drive my car for shits and giggles type deal.
Right.
It was knowing the knowledge and stuff he had to sit there and work beside me and say, okay, I'm just a farmer. You know what I mean? Went to Purdue type deal, jumped in a race car at 30 years old and decided I want to go out and drive a crate. I didn't jump in a Hornet. I didn't go through that. So to be able to pull that mind apart a little bit, and sometimes I'll ask him questions. He's like, no, you can't do that. Okay, cool. That's all I need to know. That's why I didn't do it. That's why I kind of filter through him on some of the setup stuff we do. So,
yeah, that was a huge, that was kind of one of the first opportunities I got to jump in something else for somebody else. So much thanks for that.
It's really kind of wild, the relationships you make, you know, in the pits of a racetrack, that, you know, become lifelong, you know, relationships, you know, after a while. And
it's truly a family thing. And then it's a lifestyle.
Oh, that's a fact. So, yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know if I ever told Trent this, but yeah, he really showed me how you can do it, like as a family thing. Right. My grandpa's in it, but it was always, you go to the racetrack, you race, leave everything else at home. So having the boys, and then I've got a 9, soon to be 10-year-old girl, Sophie, and a little guy who's just over 1, Noah, and just that's a big thing to me, is just watching how the family does it. So
you just stole my next question, because I was going to ask you, you know, Trent said all the knowledge and experience you have. I was going to ask, what have you learned from Trent? Because sometimes those are you learn as much, you know, with helping somebody with some of that about yourself. Then so that's really cool, because it is. I mean, and Trent, I love it, because obviously I got a 4-year-old that was in here earlier, and Justin, you were so kind to give him a plaque. So that'll mean that Probably after I get done editing this tonight, I'll have to go in and try and find a way to hang that up on his wall because he'll be ate up with it. But, you know, I've got a newborn that's 4 months old. So it's cool for me to see the way your kids are involved and the things you do with them.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It definitely has been kind of a balancing act, right? So when I came into racing and started using this guy's shop, I still had that. You know, I grew up doing the regional, national level stuff. So I've work, and it's been kind of a transition of, you know, balance out the time here and live a little bit too.
Well, speaking of kids, my 11-year-old is saying hi on there. So
hello. Yeah, hey Lydia,
she's on there saying hi. Also, Tyler Collins gave you a big shout out there that. That without you, he probably wouldn't have done as good as he's done, he says. And then Tori Collins said that you put the body on. I think it was Tori, or was it Tyler too?
It's been Tyler, I believe.
Yeah, yep. put the body on his car.
I did. I did Tyler's body last year. Zach Burton and it was Chad Fields' car at the time, but the Haleys have it now, what Zach has been driving. So.
That was really cool. The Haleys to do that for Zach also. I was going to say, you're talking about getting to jump into rides, and I do want to give some, you know, public credit there to the Haleys to tell Zach that he could finish the year out since he had an issue with the 3Z there.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always wished I could do is just have like a day where, you know, we got a like an adjustable seat in a race car and just come let people really understand what these things do, because I'll tell you that these late models are something way different than any type of street car out there. So
my brother wants to know how much the late models have truly changed in the last 5 to 10 years.
Driving wise, a ton. Setup wise, it's really surprising that really it's just the shock technology.
Oh, really?
I guess we're 4 years, 2014, I set up a Rayburn as a 4-bar for 3 races, and the only thing that's really different from that car and Rusty Schlinks, who's winning everything,
yes,
shocks.
Really?
Yeah.
And you know, I've never, I'm like Dustin, I've never been in a car, you know, I haven't taken a lap, but I kind of picked up on that when Hudson was still running with the ILMS. And when I'd interview him in Victory Lane, the first thing out of his mouth is, I can't say enough about the Penske shocks. Yep. And so that was kind of tipping me off that must be something big, because that's the first thing he thanked, you know, every time. So.
Oh, yeah. They have awesome support. They're a little high dollar, I will say that. But there's a couple guys at Penske that you can call, Nick, Aaron. But yeah, it's crazy. The setup wise, you can be 2 clicks out of the span of 30, and you can go out there and tell the difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I want to throw this out there as we talk about setups and how much stuff has changed. Justin Bowling, one of the fellow crate drivers there at Brownstown in the ILMS.
Leading rookie of the year candidate.
Yes, leading rookie of the year, says that his weekly setup is to just try and make sure there's air in the tires and gas in the tank. Anything else is over his head. And
well, when he was a guest on here, he said he hadn't changed it from when he bought it. Remember?
Yeah,
he unloads it and sleeves it exactly the same. So.
Which this is probably a story I'm not supposed to tell, but I'm going to tell it because I just heard it tonight. But we've talked about Marty tonight, and I was talking to Joe Hartwell at work this evening, and he said that they were so bad last weekend in the heat race. He said we couldn't figure it out. He said we were awful. He said we could not figure it out. He said when I got home, I realized that the air was leaking out of the tire, and there was no air in the tire.
Oh.
And he said it was leaking while we were out there, but he said by the time we got home, there was nothing in it. So he said, yeah, that was probably our bad setup there. So,
whoops.
So hey, Justin, I know you're talking basic, but even the Hartwells there, they had to double check that there was air in the tires.
I've had that problem. It must be a thing that everybody has to have.
Yeah, it's just a learning experience, I'm sure.
I guess I got to give you a shout out, Justin. I mean, Keegan Cox gets on here and says, without you, you worked on the 23 machine of his. So I guess that's awesome. That, you know, these guys are all, you know, realizing how much you do help them there, you know, when you go to the racetrack. And
yeah, I will say, so this year I haven't raced a whole lot. I think 4 times maybe, mm-hmm. for Trent here. And But one thing that was really fun this year, especially at the beginning of the year, is I went through Tyler Collins' car over the winter. Just kind of pointed to him in some directions on buying stuff. And I can't take all the credit. Brock Burton with Renegade Custom mm-hmm. Suspension, another shocks. The first race out, I came and kind of helped him, and I think Trent was there, and just kind of bounced back and forth between some folks that were there, and watching Tyler go out and win a heat race and run second feature. And Trent's has been a little bit more difficult. Tyler has kind of a out of the box cookie cutter car. Everybody's kind of same setups, known, easy to bounce between people,
right?
And Trent's is unique. It's got one car in the front and then a half of a car, another in the back. So no one else in the world has one.
It's
so,
a Johnny Cash, one piece at a time, baby.
Yeah, so we've steadily made changes all year. And I think a week or two ago, he came back and said, the car is definitely better than me. So, yeah.
The finish did not equate to what the car had. So it was one of those deals that was over his head that was – the car was over my head. It was driving so well that I couldn't drive it good enough.
So that's another piece that, you know, I love driving. If I could, I'd do it every week. I'd do it as a job probably, but I did find a lot of joy in helping and, you know, just tossing out some ideas when, you know, people have some problems with the race car. All right, what's it doing? All right, try this, try that, try this. And they come back and they're like, yeah, it worked, thanks. That feels pretty good.
You know, that has to be cool though that you can do that. And you know that, because you know somebody like, you know, Justin Bowling, you know, he's done great this year, but I'm sure he would love it if somebody would just said, let's try this, you know, try that. Yeah. So it's
he went with Cody Mahoney
yes.
Fabrication, and Cody does awesome work, way better than I could do. But
he's another one though that's grown up around the sport, you know. He's,
yeah, and Don O'Neill. Yes. He was with Don, and I think he got Luke's old crew chief of the world, of the series or whatever, of the year. And he's doing the same thing. So I recommend him come to me. you know, so.
Trent, I'm gonna ask you this because that's something we've talked on here about before too. Because sometimes I think young guys. That they always think that, man, if I just had, you know, Marty's equipment, or if I had this person's equipment, or if I had this, I could run it. How much do you have to adjust as a driver as that car gets better, you know? And you know, because you finally get comfortable with the way it's running, even though it may not be everything the car's got, and then you find it a little bit more. How much adjustment is there for you as a driver?
So it took a lot, because Justin's driving style and mine is completely different. So if we had the same, I mean, he has a white helmet on. Usually I have a black one. So if you're ever at the track and say, oh, I wonder who's in the car tonight, if you don't have Matt announced or whatever, that's who it is. But if you watch the car on the track, it'll take like a lap or a turn before you realize that, oh, yeah, that's Justin in there. That thing wasn't going to look like it was going to go over the bank type deal at Brownstown or something like that. But the adjustment is once you realize you were driving it one way and that the car handles better somewhere else. And this weekend, for instance, we were at Twin Cities and ran, and we got to where we were comfortable enough. We couldn't get around. I mean, we were right there with cars getting runs, but we couldn't get it. But the car was good enough that I felt like I could move around on the track. So it was, okay, I'm up here on top and I can't get the run, so I can go to the bottom and try this thing. It wasn't that the car was set up where
I had to stay
at the top. I can't go anywhere else. And Justin's been really good in figuring that out and just walking me through the basics of, okay, if this is happening, this is what you need to do, and this is how you get to stay on the bottom and not come up the track. And one big ticket this weekend was using the brake more than I was the gas. And that made it, one, just be able to move right up through there and keep the car where you want it to, keep it underneath of you. Where my philosophy was, okay, this is fun. It's like out in your pickup in the backyard somewhere right on, doing donuts, yeah. Which there's videos of that out there too. That just keep it sideways, but keep it underneath of you. And then seeing the pictures come back that this car was laid out, but you're passing them on the bottom and you're everything's square and ready to go. So,
and I'm going to say that from when I was a kid till now, I remember being a kid at the racetrack, you know, when the cars got to the corners, you know, they were hung out. And now you guys keep them so much more squared up than probably ever in dirt racing, you know.
Yeah, that's that has to attribute to that question earlier where... Oh, that's great. So that has to go back to that question. How much has the setup changed in the last 5 years? Now, if we expand, if we say 10 years, that really comes into play. Oh, you know, really? They used to be hung out sideways. Yes. Now they're straight, or they look straight anyway, but the rear ends actually turn underneath the car. And
well, there's, you know, you when... I remember being a kid, you know, and you know, you got, they'd go into the corner and, you know, they'd turn right and that left front wheel would bury up in the front flare. And, you know, as a kid, that was just awesome looking to me. And I don't, me and my brother grew up on a gravel road, and I think everybody on that road hated us because we had all the gravel thrown off every corner. And, you know, because we wanted to drive like those guys we've seen at Brownstown. And
I never did that. If my mom's listening, I never did anything like that.
Well, I was going to say.
But now you don't see a car like, you know, when you see a car with the left front tucked into the flare, you know, he's out of control now because they just don't drive like that anymore.
Yeah, now it's the left rear
that's sucked up in the door. Yeah.
And I was going to say, you know, if you are friends with Trent on Facebook, watching some of the things his kids get into out there. And I mean, I'm envious of not growing up out there because they'll be racing in the shop and chairs and big wheels, and they'll be out in the field with a race. I mean, it's they're constantly turning laps in something. So it's a cool deal.
Jamie Schaefer, she threw out another thing to you there. Said, never seen you in the pits without a smile on your face. Great individual all around, and an excellent model for those that what the sport needs. So she bragging on you there.
Awesome. And, thank you, Jamie.
I do have to say, you know, you do smile a whole lot, you know, when you're in the pits and you're enjoying it. And I remember we was at Bloomington last year, and you was changing the carburetor on the car, I think, or something, man. And he's got his feet, you know, on top of the frame rails, just leaning down. I'm thinking, how's a guy work like that? You know, I'd fall over and, you know, I'd hurt myself.
Got to get it done.
Well, and that's the thing that Justin and I talk about quite a bit is if it's not fun, there's other things you can do that's not enjoyable. So if you're there, even on a bad night, you have to realize that there's people in the stands that would like to be in that car to say they did that. Yeah. So you better enjoy it and better put on a show for them when you get out there.
Well, and I think, and Trent, I'll give you this credit, because even when we worked before on the website and stuff, you know, I know that for you it has always been about the fans, and it's always been about having fun and putting on a show and those kind of things. And you're exactly right. And it's funny to me sometimes that the guys that when you go in the pit, and I get the time and the money and the investment, but if you despise it as much as sometimes you look like, buy a bass boat, man. You can go to the lake a lot easier than what you're doing here. And so it is cool to see guys that, hey, man, it's a bad night, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I got to tell you a story since you brought that up. Last year, near the end of the year, Tad Cheek, he drives a modified. And
you've told me this story. This one's great.
He showed up and paid his way all the way to the pits to race, drew his number, come back and brought the transponder back and tells Jamie, he said, my buddy's called and said they're at the lake in the boat. He said, I'm just going to go back home. So he turns his transponder in before we even hot lap, leaves to ride a boat, you know. So that's
That's awesome.
his whole pit crew was out at the lake, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to take her home and go to the lake. Which everybody's funny. Had those nights. I mean, it's time just to pack it and go to the lake.
If there's one thing that I wish there was more time in the night for it is the fan interactions.
Yes, so thank you.
Some of my favorite nights are those fan appreciation nights. And I tried to always make them, whether or not it was Brownstown, Twin Cities, wherever it was, as long as I could make it. And like if I was points racing, I couldn't make them all, but those are the best.
So. And, you know, that's, you know, we got the picture there from the Bowman 50, and that, you know, that's why we tried to do that. You know, me and Mark talked and let you guys do the out-of-the-car introductions, and, you know, because – I know when I was a kid, I wanted to know what that guy looked like because, you know, you sometimes never got to see him, you know. And, you know, this is your guys' big night, you know, with the ILMS, and, you know, we try to make it a big night for you guys. So that's
– Well, and I've said this several times on here, Justin, and it's honestly the truth. But when my son went to three-year-old preschool and my wife did the fancy board that you have to do on Pinterest because everybody has to do that. And when he said what he wanted to be when he grew up, he said Spider-Man because it was all superheroes. Since we've started this show and he's got to meet drivers, because to him, you guys are Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt, Tony Stewart. I mean, that's
awesome.
And this year at four-year-old, I wasn't home when they actually did the board, and my wife sends me a picture, and it says, when I grow up, I want to be a race car driver. And I'm like, And it, you have no idea. Like, that little boy, that is all I'm going to hear about for the next 3 weeks is that, you know, because it to him, you guys are, I mean, the biggest things you can see. So I appreciate that when I've got a young kid because, and for those that obviously we weren't on yet, but, you know, your interaction with him will mean the world to him. And that's, you know, when we talk about how do you grow this sport, how do you keep it alive, it's what you just did right there that'll keep that going.
Well, I got to say, I was a teenager, and the guys that rolled out on the racetrack, you know, on Saturday nights were my biggest heroes, too. And you don't have to just be four.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and my family, we went to the NASCAR races and also to Brownstown, and I would have much rather watched the guys at Brownstown. You know, I felt like I was closer to them, you know.
Well, I'm going to say it, you know.
I'm waiting on the old jokes.
No, I wasn't going old joke there. I mean, Saturday night, watching Chase Briscoe in Victory Lane at Charlotte in the Roval, Kevin Briscoe was my hero growing up. I know that Matt gets mad at me. I'm a sprint car guy.
He fell on his head when he was a kid.
Obviously.
Loved watching Kevin Briscoe. I'm from Mitchell, Chase's hometown, and it was so cool that Toby Wedgwood, good buddy of mine, went to high school with him, and he does the Briscoe Breakdown podcast, and he posted a picture, and it was so cool that was Chase's nameplate, and he designed it, and it was he said, you know, it had the confetti on it from winning, and he said, you know, this may not mean anything to anybody else, but it's got the Indiana flag with Mitchell, Indiana underneath it. But then he talked about Chase's name actually sits at 36 degrees, and the reason why they chose 36 was the number 5 that the Briscoes are famous for running. He was 13 when he broke Jeff Gordon's record in a 410 sprint, and he was 18 when he went into ARCA, and 18 plus 18 is the 36, so he did 36 degrees. And I mean, that gives me chills still. I mean, I'm 33 years old, and the fact that I watched my hero get pictures in Victory Lane with his son gives me just absolute chills. So it's still today. I mean, I just sat there and I'm like, even though it wasn't Kevin is in Victory Lane with his son at Charlotte. That's the coolest thing ever.
Well, that was what, 3 or 4 weeks ago when I interviewed Greg Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, I rooted for him. You know, pretty much his whole racing career. I know he took your ride there in your first year,
that's all right. I've forgiven him.
But that's that was cool to me that I got to be a fan, and then I got to go interview him at Victor Lane. So, you know, like you said, that's like a full circle moment right there. So
absolutely. And then your brother said that's what's wrong with me is that I'm from Mitchell. And Mike, you're right.
He's a transplant there, though. He's not telling the whole story.
Yeah, but here's the thing: only the tough can make it in Mitchell. When all you got's a cement company, you got to be tough. We got rid of the bus manufacturer, all we got less Lehigh cement. So that's part of the problem.
Hey, we forgot to let you guys yell out your sponsors, though. So you guys want to do that real quick? And
I'm going to let Trent start because I don't technically have any this year, but I'm definitely going to give a shout out to the ones that I had in the past. And maybe even some from the past, just that I want to say thanks to.
Good deal.
Yeah, so we got TNS Farms. That's family farm there. And then Trailbridge Diesel Performance helps us out, gives me a little advice on the truck I'm running with, especially when I have some issues with it. So got a deal bought right, but had to put a little TLC into it. And then, I mean, we're running Penske Shocks. AccuForce helps us out quite a bit when we got questions there. And you look at people whose names aren't on the car. My father-in-law helps me week in, week out in the shop. And then my dad's usually at the races with me on the weekends, helping out and supporting there. And, of course, you got the family in the stands and doing some things there. And then also I got Wagner Motorsports out of Versailles. Sets me up with fuel and stuff like that every week. So really gets us going. And I'm sure I left out a few there that I'll be sure to hit back on when he's done.
I'll add in Superheat Solutions for him.
Yeah, my bad. You're wearing the shirt. Yeah. You're sitting here pointing at it like, hey.
Yeah, so Superheat, that's my little business. I do some body work, some consulting. We have Garlich over in North Vernon. Buddha, Burt Transmission Sales and Service. He's over in Illinois, does the best work on transmissions there is. I think we're couple years in on a transmission he did, and it's still running strong.
Good deal.
Shaw Trucking out of Ham Lake, Minnesota. Bam Weather, BamWX.com. They, if Brown Sound does not have them, they need to get them, because every week I'm on there looking at the weather, watching all the fronts and how everything's. They just explain it so well. Oh, it's really awesome.
I will say that I've used them on Facebook, and being in the business I'm in school. Like, when the winter weather comes, yeah, they are the most accurate you can find.
Absolutely.
Everybody else will be saying, like, 12, 13 inches. They'll be like, you're going to get two. And it's like, that's what we get. They are they are the best. Exactly. I will throw that out.
Penske Racing Tracks again. Central Barbershop. Ryan at Central Barbershop getting this thing all figured out. Smoker Friendly, CrossFit East Indy, and Green Light Auto out of Columbus, Indiana. I actually do a second job there, or third, or fourth, or however many that is. But
I've seen you put on Facebook there, you know, that you're moving cars up there. So
yeah.
And I got to give a shout out to Central Avenue Barbershop since I started working up in Columbus. I go there now, and I've got to the point that I don't even shave myself. This is kind of what works out. So Thursday at 12:30 every day, I go in there and see Taylor. Taylor gives me a straight razor.
Oh, yeah, good
and,
one.
You feel pretty damn good when you walk out after
the
straight
razor. Oh, yeah, that's the best. Right now,
the hot towel does it, right?
You're about 6 inches taller when you walk out just because you feel like you should be. Yeah. You think back to Gran Torino when Clint Eastwood's there ready to go take on the town type of thing.
And I'll tell you what, that's a trust thing because...
Oh, absolutely.
The best of the best, but I've always sat there. We had a guy in Mitchell when I was in high school that always gave us straight razor shaves, and I always thought, man, he could kill me so easily. Like, this can be over in a heartbeat if he wanted it to be.
It kind of makes you wonder what they're thinking when they're back there strapping it up on the leather strap.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, man, have I ever said something about this guy I maybe didn't mean? And yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, and then a couple more. Irish Brothers Pest Control. They do mostly Johnson County, but do an awesome job. Travis Kern Racing Engines, man, what a guy. Helped me out a ton when I was down an engine and trying to run for points the other year. And then two really big ones, CJ Rayburn, grandpa, helped me get started, I'll say the fundamentals and a really solid foundation. And then last but not least, Brian Bowman, again, gave me a heck of a shot to really show everybody what I could do in a race car and with one, and help me out.
And you've done a good job. I mean, pretty much about every ride I can remember you in. I mean, you was always, you know, an upfront runner, and you know, you ran the wheels off of her if you could. So that's, you know, that's...
Yeah, I think had Hudson not been around a couple of years ago, I think I finished second to him like four or five times.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, he was definitely a spoiler for a lot of you guys that year.
And I've always joked he had more fans in the race cars than he even had in the stands.
Oh, absolutely.
I said, when he went Lucas Oil went nationwide, every driver was like, "We love Hudson, let's go. Yeah, yeah. We want to see him." And it's genuine, but it's also like, man, this guy.
And another aspect, at least for me, is I worked for Don 10 years ago. I rode four-wheelers in the front yard with Huddy.
Yeah.
Kid was nuts on a four-wheeler. And then, you know, and then I get to race against him and then watch him do the Lucas stuff. That's pretty cool.
So you saw it from an early age on a four-wheeler in the front yard.
Oh, yeah. We all knew Hudson was going to be the race car driver there. So
very cool.
Well, we're a little over an hour in. So, you know, guys, I want to say this to both of you. And first of all, good luck in everything the remainder of the year. Little bit we got left. Good luck in the future, both driving and everything that you guys are going to do. Thanks for coming out, you know, and I say this to every driver and you guys that come out, because it's crazy to me that we can get everybody to come out here on a Wednesday night and just sit down and talk with us. So come back anytime. We'd love to have you again, and continue to kind of talk these stories, and we appreciate your support for us as well.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody, make sure you get out to the tracks this weekend. And
Championship night.
Championship night at Brownstown Speedway. Like we said, some really, really tight point battles there, and especially the modifieds, 18 points there between Boatnick and
Owens.
And, you know, it should be an exciting finish, I am sure.
Yep.
All right, everybody have a good one.
I'm from less. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.
I've been the Kenny Wallace of the rap game. Ever since I hit him with that dirt track thing. Now nationwide, everybody knows my name. They're like, mama, that's Kenny Montgomery. He sings that song we like. Yeah, boy, that's me. Roll out the trailer, I'm flossing. Them Hoosier tires glossing. Them cold kind, we're tossing. They know I came to wreck it, yet I rarely bring out a caution. I hit the high side, boy, I park it for Brian Clausen. I do them like Kyle Larson. Watch me throw them sliders. Party in Victory Lane, and y'all boys ain't invited. Your mama gets excited when I pull up to unload. Even your grandpa talking about, man, that boy too cold. We don't sit on 24s, we don't ride on spinners. I'm posted up on them 15s with platinum dirt defenders. Got kids up in my window like, hey, Mo, are you gonna win it? Yeah, I hope y'all brought some stamps, cause y'all know I'm about to send it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
I'm a dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to it.
I just won hot laps for the third week. Lil Dave said he thinks we're in the first heat. So I go and check the board on my bike, sitting outside pole. Y'all know what it's looking like. W, that's another George W. Hit him with that half a lap, like dang, what gear you running, dude? And where'd you get that fire suit? Man, I like that stitching. Velocity USA, hey, just tell Brad that I sent you. I'm shining like I'm rubbered up and I'm smiling for the pics. Y'all boys be looking tacky, why I stay looking slick. Four new rims, no new friends. They never know what I'm planning. And mama just gave me them eyes like, dang, baby, you looking handsome. We pray and sing the anthem. Nobody takes a knee. We stop and show respect, cause we're all proud to be. From the land of the free and the home of the brave, y'all better wake up and get it. We're making America great again. Let's all go out and kick it on it. Dirt, 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 I'm all about that. Dirt, 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 I'm throwing. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, dirt, dirt,
gotta get back to
I'm
it.
A dirt trackaholic, call it what you call it. Saturday night, I am so Kenny Wallace on that. Dirt, 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 I miss that. Dirt, 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 dirt,
gotta get back to it.